Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So if you couldn't tell by our names on the bottom of the screen, I am the Teresa of the BFF Book Club.
I am the Teresa. I love it.
You would introduce yourself in such manners. And I'm just Katie.
Okay. And I'm just Laura, so it works.
So just, you know, it's Teresa's show. We're just living in it.
I love it.
Which, pretty if much. Anyone knows Teresa, that sums it all up.
That is so funny. Well, I love it. I'm glad I'm here to see it.
Yeah. So for everybody who's joining us today, we have the author, and we're so excited to have you here, Laura. And tell me if I'm pronouncing your last name wrong, but Pavlov?
Pavlov, yes, like Pavlov. Okay.
We were right.
I was like, I always pronounce everything incorrectly. So I was like, I hope I'm saying this right.
You're totally right.
Perfect. So we're here, obviously, today to talk about book 5 in the Magnolia Fall series, Finding Hayes, which we will get to in a minute. But you have like a crazy backlog of books.
Yeah, you know what? I just had to fill something out for Montlake. And when I was filling it out, they were like, can you list your backlist titles? And I was like, oh. So doing it, like there are really built up. I've been busy, you know, writing and not realizing that it is. I think this one releasing Thursday is book number 33. I just counted today.
Wow.
'Cause people ask, I'm like 30-ish. Like it's hard because you write, mm-hmm. like you have to be ahead. So I've written a few more than are out. So you're always kind of trying to calculate like how many are out is a little bit different than what you've written. So. But yeah, it has. It's a hearty backlist now.
Yeah. When did you start writing, and what kind of got you into the whole like wanting to kind of be an author, I guess?
So it was super unexpected. I was a kindergarten teacher. I taught for 17 years, like kinder through fifth. Oh, but wow. The last 10 years were kindergarten. And I was just a big reader. Never did I think like this would be something I would do. But I had this idea for a story. Like it was just something that when I would work, like when I'd get on the treadmill, the story kept playing out in my head like a movie. And a friend that I worked with, we always read, like we would do like book club together and read books together. And she was like, well, write it for me and I'll read it. It sounds good. So it kind of started as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And then I left teaching 5 years ago. Someone was just talking about, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been a busy 5 years because... I was like, it seems longer, but so I left teaching 5 years ago and it took a while. Like, you know, when you first start, you know, you're really starting from, I had no social media, no newsletter. And so it's been and then starting later in life, like mm-hmm. this second career, you know, I did feel like, well, put your head down and do as much as you can because it's a shorter window that you have. So it's been amazing. And so surprising.
It's crazy to think you left teaching only 5 years ago with all that you've accomplished with your writing.
Thank you so much. And I know like the students that I taught, a few of them have come to some of the like local book signing stuff. And they're always like, can we read your book on AR? I'm like, oh no, no, no.
You're
no.
like, yeah, no.
Yeah, like your parents will buy it for later. I'm like much later. But I know it's always fun because back then, like I was teaching, you know, like kindergartners how to read. I loved that part about my job, like watching a student go from not reading to reading. And then I love to read. So like, you know, I was like, it's cool because I went from, you know, teaching them how to read books and at night I would read books that I liked. And then I started writing books that I like. And so it's been really neat.
I love that. And cool. You kind of started at the perfect time because 4 years ago during COVID, I feel like is when the big book talk like boom happened. So did you see, I guess, like an increase in like popularity when book talk started becoming like more and more, I guess, like as big as it's gotten? Like, have you seen, obviously, you've gotten probably a lot of new readers through that.
Right. For me, like the COVID, it's weird because you don't even really notice it. It's like you're always just working and trying to find new readers and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then you're just kind of like, oh, like, you know, there are more people reading it. So you don't really stop. I think I release, you know, for a while I was releasing every 8 weeks and now it's like between 8 and 10. But COVID definitely was great for me in the sense that A, it was a really tough time to be a teacher.
Yeah.
All my teacher friends were like, how did you leave it? I left right before COVID. So I think I left in 2019. And then COVID was just a great time for writing because you couldn't really do anything.
You couldn't do anything else.
Right. There was no travel. It's harder now. Like there's so many things going on. So we didn't travel during that time. So, and like my kids, my husband and I are empty nesters. Our kids, I left teaching the year my daughter graduated from college. My son had graduated the year before. So like we're empty nesters. So I had lots of time during COVID to write. And, but yes, like book talk, definitely like social media, TikTok, all of that has played a huge role in my career, which is shocking because I am the worst at social media. So I'm ever trying to get better, but yeah, I think it's all like, I think it's all of the, you know, different resources that have worked.
Yeah. And if people didn't like your books, they wouldn't promote it. So even though, exactly. you know, even if you're,
I
mean, like,
I found yeah. you a while back. I started with your Montgomery Brothers series and I did that series on audio and I loved it. It was so good. It was so captivating. I loved the tropes, if you will. I loved the guys and the girls. I just, everything about those stories, I blew through those so fast on audio. I was like, oh, I need to just like keep going. So it's kind of cool how like you kind of all stumble upon on each other,
right?
Because of social media. Because I wasn't on Book Talk until Teresa forced my hand. I was like, hey, I like created this logins and here you go.
I fought it too. I was the same. I'm like, oh, and then you realize like it's here to stay and it's actually helped a ton. And I am that way. Like I will see a book on TikTok, just that little clip, and I'm like, it is. It's that, you know, oh, sorry, there's eyelash in my eye, but it's those little like hooks that get you. So yeah. I have found a ton of books through the same way. Like I go on and post and then I'll scroll. I'm like, you only are scrolling for like 3 minutes because you can lose hours. Like, you know, like once you get on social media, it's so hard. But I have found a ton that way too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was saying it's those incredible little blurbs that really, really, really get you.
They do.
Well, and even like connecting just with other readers. Like, I mean, before, I feel like I only stuck to what I knew, which was Nora Roberts. So I feel like I read everything Nora Roberts, you know, like what's next? And Teresa's like, when I tell you, you need to log on to like a TikTok and like start doing this. I was like, all right, fine. Like I give in. And it opened my eyes to so many new authors, including you, which was so cool.
Well, thank you. And the market, it's amazing because it's so flooded. Like you never run out. You know what I mean? There's, and I have found, I think probably through social media, genres that I would normally not have picked, that I wouldn't think I would love, but I see a little clip and then I'm like, would I like, you know, like I love dark romance now, but I never used to read it. I was like, and it's those dark romance, you know, you get those TikTok clips that kind of, you're like, oh, like I'm curious now.
I'm intrigued.
So I have found genres that I didn't read before that way too. So yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's funny that you bring up dark romance because I'm just not a dark romance fan. I try so hard because I get hooked by those clips. Every dark romance book, I'm like, this is the one that's going to get me. And then I'll read it and I'm like, oh, no, I don't think so. But I keep reading them.
Right. You can't put it down. And I like, I'm a mood reader. So if I read something really dark and heavy, then like I need some light, funny. And I like, it's easier for me to read dark because it's so different from what I write.
Right.
Read what you write, because I'll read and I'm like, did I just write this today? Like I get all panicked that I'm, and it's like a book I haven't even read, but you know, like there's, so it's hard to read in your own genre, but I'll need it. I'm like, oh, I need, like I'm drained from that book. That was a lot, you know, like that I need something lighter now.
Which is kind of like what you write, which is nice. There's small towns, they're even if you have some heavier elements maybe tied in, at the end of the day, you are getting happy endings, great tropes, like just good moments, like kind of leave you with a big smile on your face throughout the whole story, because you're like, oh, yeah, here we go.
I say a lot of men who are just absolute simps, like, yeah, these men love these women. Yeah. I know we're going to get into Hayes, but I just want to say that River was like, that was like my man's. And him and Ruby, I loved them so much, but I just loved like River's kind of the character growth, like throughout the entire book, and how he was just like so unapologetically like obsessed with her. Yes. And didn't hide it. I thought that he would be the problem. I was like, oh my God, he's going to be like, I don't fall in love. And then he was like, I mean,
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes like as I'm writing it, I'm like, oh, I did not see this coming. Because you'll kind of have a, like a plan, but that's happened a few times. And theirs was one that that did happen. And he fell so hard and he wasn't used to that feeling. So he, you know, he made some mistakes along the way, but I loved him too. Like, you know, he had to grow up fast and,
yeah.
But I loved when he, I love when it's someone who is, you know, has never experienced that and they fall and they just, that's it. Like that's that, that one person that they, that's it. Like they fall and they're all in. And she, I knew he would need a heroine that could handle him. Mm-hmm. And she was very strong in her own right and independent. And I was like, he's going to need that type of partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say they weren't like an opposites attract kind of couple. They were both like very like hard headed. They were very similar, but yeah, it worked out perfectly for them.
Right,
because that can be hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Oh, I love that.
And I love in all of the books, in this series specifically, like the text conversations.
Same. Yes.
We
give us good text scenes.
We've said this a lot. We do love a good text scene, but you did it really well. We said this. We interviewed Tegan Hunter a few weeks ago, and she does a lot of texting in her books too. And we were like, it's really great when an author, I imagine it to be hard, but it's really great when I don't even have to read who the text is from to know who it is.
Yeah.
Because you are like encompassed the character so well that I don't even need to see that it's from like King or Nash or Romeo. Like I already know
you
that it's them
know what you're reading
based on what they're saying.
I love that.
But
I
it carries like, and it carries, right? Like it's not just thrown in there just to be thrown in there. It's taking right. one scene and bringing you to the next point. Like it's moving the plot forward. Yeah. Not just like using it to be stagnant and just be like, oh, people like text scenes. Here you go. It's like, right. no, the, we're progressing now.
Right.
But they're done so well.
Thank you. I wrote one today. You know, I am one of six siblings. So I'm on an endless sibling chain. So they're always like, you better not be putting this in there. I'm like, I'm not.
But actually, I'm taking notes as we speak because it's all going.
It's like a lot of times I'll be like, oh, I'm gonna kind of play off of this vibe. But and then there's always these little side texts like, did you see that? Or so I'm on an endless one. And what I like about text messaging is that it's a good way to get to know, like when you're writing a series with those guys, it was a good way to know all five of them without all the dialogue tags. Like when you put them in a room and trying to keep up with who said what, mm-hmm. it's a great way to kind of like, and when you're doing book one, it's harder because you're getting to know those characters. But as I go, it is exactly what you said. Like I'll even sometimes type and then I'm like, no, he wouldn't. That wasn't him who would say that. So like you start to kind of know them so well that it's so, the text chains are so fun because it's, you get all of them in there. It's not taking up a ton of word count and space, like, you know, and monotonous. When you have like a group, when you're doing a scene with everybody, like a Sunday dinner, it's hard because you don't want to say like, you know, Romeo said, River said, like it gets very monotonous. So the texts are great because they can all be in it. It's just their name.
That's true. Yeah. So
I love, and it could be little bits, but you get a lot about them mm-hmm. and kind of bring up a topic and some advice and have all of
them. I love when the guys gang up on Hayes about Savvy with like how she's hot and they're like, oh, silence. He's but so like, yes, like just in that, like, oh, so, okay, no, he does think she's hot.
Right.
And they're just, like, calling him out the whole way down.
Right, because they know each other so well. That book was so fun to write because, you know, they all know each other so well by that point.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the last one in the series, sometimes there's that little bit of pressure because you want to end this series, you know, you want people to like the last book in the series, but you do feel like you know them really well. So it's easier, like, it's like your own family. So, you know, like where you'd know That's what your siblings would say. I don't have to stop and think a lot. I'm like, oh, you know, Nash is going to give him advice here. Or, and then trying to get all of them kind of peppered in their perspectives and, mm-hmm. and then get little beefcake, some page time too. So yeah.
Beefcake. It is honestly the funniest thing. In the first book, I was like, this kid is crazy in a good way.
He's so crazy. He's kind of based loosely on, I was trying to think if I had something here, like a couple kids that I taught. Like he was like kind of a combo.
Oh my God.
That's cool. That's cute. And,
I was like,
he's a lot of personality.
A lot of personality. He really is. And I couldn't think of, I knew he was going to have a handle. Like I knew his name was Cutler. And I was at dinner with my husband and I'm like, what? I'm like, he's just a quirky kid. I could see it. So I'm naming all these names. So it's my husband's claim to fame is he was like Beefcake. I'm like, oh my God, I think it is Beefcake.
It's so funny.
Yeah. It's because he's so unique and,
yeah.
You know, like he's such a confident kid and yeah.
He like tied kind of it. Like he ties them all together in a way too.
Yeah.
Like he is just like the perfect, like in the middle. I mean, obviously like his uncles, he looks up to them, but he like loves their wives, girlfriends, whatever. And he like is like really like the glue that holds them all together.
He is. And they're all so soft in him. I loved that part of that series, like how they all really came together for this little boy. Like they love him.
Yeah.
And they have this like family bond.
It was so nice in this one too, when like Nash and Hayes are having that conversation at the end, even before he knows that, you know, that he's about to be a father. Right. And he's like, I mean, how do you not realize that you already kind of are a father? It was like so heartfelt, that like moment between them.
Yeah, it's weird because I hadn't even planned that scene. I knew he was gonna be there with him, but I even was like, you have been a father. Like it was weird how it kind of came about, because he really was like, he gave up, he sacrificed a lot in his life for his sister, which I think happens often. Like, you know, you grow up, he was more like a father figure to her. And so he had already been doing it, but then you also understand his hesitation. You know, he knows what a responsibility it is and how easy it is to mess up. And mm-hmm. I just didn't think he was capable until, you know, the right person came along.
The right girl. Yeah. I like how even though there's, I don't want to call it miscommunication because it's not miscommunication. It's Kate being a big old B.
Yeah.
But I like how she was the worst. But I do like how it's quickly kind of tied up as to like what was going on, because like throughout the whole first half, it's like, I tried to text you, I tried to get in touch with you, and like, and he's kind of like looking at her like, what are you talking about? But like, I like how like it's nipped in the butt with him so fast, because I think he is so advanced for this writing he's been going through, that he's like, what are you talking about? You're wrong. This is what happened. Like, I like that we cut right to the chase. Like, it wasn't like a whole thing, like, yeah, like it added to the storyline and the plot, but in the best way.
Right.
But then once it kind of was, it hit its mark, it ended, and then it was like, but the whole time, like, you could just feel like his love for her, mm-hmm. like, no matter what.
Yeah,
and that shows through no matter, like,
yes, yeah. He didn't know why she left, and I think, that it's easy, like, if you know, the way he grew up, I think he just assumed she was done with him, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I think he was in kind of a miserable relationship because that is all he really knew and felt deserving of at that time. And she's like, thinks he's messing with her, like, you know, because why isn't he? And so when it all comes out, it kind of like, it seems like he's the bad guy. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's a little.
Not really. Yeah. There's a whole other.
Right.
And they were both in not great places when that happened. No. And I mean, human nature, I feel like, is always, it's easier to believe the worst in yourself when you're feeling that way. So 100%. Everything prior, like, she should have known that he would never say those things about her, but she was feeling that way internally. So it was so easy for her to believe that. because it was almost like,
well, she was so down at that moment, yeah, too, like finding out about her father and then her mom, and then you know, she's being shamed at school, which, like, what teenager? That's a lot.
And they're young when this is happening, too.
Right. She's like 16, 17. And because I know there was a review I'd read, and it said something about that, like, that they were mad at her. And I'm like, she was young. And I mean, look at what her mom just did. So, you know, your whole family's blowing up. And so then, and it seemed believable, you know, he was with her. She's feeling super insecure. And, you know, your mind can be the worst where you, and everything that was said to her, at least from my perspective, like, I wrote it, but when I read it back, like, the message, you know, we obviously find out what it was all about, but it did seem like it could have fit for that situation as well.
Absolutely.
She was feeling like she was a lot, and he's with this girl, and the girl, you know, is horrible to her. So just, I think it's easy when you're down to just feel like, you know, I used to always say to my kids, like, you know, just reading those like positive books, that most things, like the Four Agreements, like, it usually has nothing to do with you, but it's easy. Like when a teacher's in a bad mood at school, the kid thinks it has to do with them. And I think at that age, it's easy to think like, oh my gosh, like everyone's letting me down. And she was in this horrible
place. So impressionable, especially as a female too. It's just, not to say boys can't feel that way, but I think we definitely take on a little bit more emotion. And like, not that we want to always people please, but we want people to like us. We want the girls in the school to like us. So yeah, like, I'm with you. Like, in that moment, I would have read that text message and been like,
and you're just,
yep, that's about me.
And she's just hurt and dumb being her. And then she's also like, just found out this big news about her dad. So her focus is on something else. And
I say, it's like reaffirming all the things that she feels about herself.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, but we've all been there.
Right.
Yes. I do love her relationship with her father. And I know that they, you know, they forgive her mom. But when those letters came out, I was like, you should always forgive family and give people the benefit of the doubt. But I was like, but also, if that was my mom, I'd be like, lady, we're going to have some words.
Right.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Very cold and kind of, like, not attached. Like, it was a weird relationship. Because even when that comes out, like, she's not super apologetic. It's just like, because she's, I think, very, the way I saw her mom was very narcissistic. You know, she's very, very enthralled in her own world and the things happening for her and not realizing, like, what her actions are doing to her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like in that one scene, like that flashback scene, you conveyed that perfectly, like that her mom was very narcissistic, which I think is really difficult to do because you didn't have a lot of time to kind of understand the mom's motivations, but you didn't need it. It was very, like, very clear in your writing.
I feel like it gave it some, like, depth, too. Like, then you've got, like, the full, like, you can imagine the thoughts and feelings, but, like, reading that and feeling that, you're like, oh, I get it. Okay. Like, wow.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad because, that was such a, it's like, and you know, everyone goes through things and family stuff. And it all just kind of like hit at once, I think, for her. And then he was going through things at the same time. And so, because I was like, is this it? I don't know if it's a second chance romance, but it's definitely like they had a friendship that was so strong.
Yeah.
And that reconnection, you know.
Yeah, I was considering it second chance.
Like, even, like, her dad's like, I thought there was always something there.
I think there was. They just didn't recognize it at that time. And sometimes when you know, that is when you love someone so much, like, where you have a family friendship and, like, crossing the line is so risky because if it doesn't work, like, it's, so I think they just never had, like, they were still just in this friendship phase and, and then finding them, you know, their way back to each other later was great.
But that's what I think I liked about them too. Like, even from the beginning, like, I don't want to call it enemies because it wasn't. Like, there definitely was some animosity. Like, I'm mad at you and you're mad at me. But, like, at the end of the day, like, we're adults now. And, like, if you need me, I'm there for you. Like, her car, Big Red stopped and he was there. Like,
he has such, like, a savior complex in a good way. But, like, the firefighter, like, saving his sister from, like, a bad environment, saving Sav every time she needs it. He is, like, they always call him grumpy. And it's so funny because in all the other books, I'm like, he is. And then in this one, I'm like, he's so soft. He has,
his internal is so tenderhearted.
Yes.
But he comes off, like, even when he finds her in the car, like, he just has short patience and...
He's, like, abrasive, yeah. But he means well.
Yes, but he is, like, he... Yes. Like, even the way he was with Cutler, like, he... And his, you know, these guys, he just loves them. But I think he was so guarded for so long. Mm-hmm. But she was kind of the one person that he never had been guarded with. So when she comes back... Because he was a lot... kinder, like he was a lot easier on her when she came back than she was on it. You know, she was very like, I don't want anything from you. And I think she had learned, which most of her life, like she really had to take care of herself. So
yeah,
didn't want to be helped. And he was not going to have that, which it was really fun to write that.
Well, it was fun to read. I can tell you that.
I was
going to
say, it was fun to read. I know that you said that some, like, you know, the part at the end, like, with the whole, like, father, like, conversation you didn't have planned. But when you're, like, writing these stories, do you kind of know where you want them to go? Or do you always, like, kind of end up surprised at the end, like, where they went and how you got there?
So I usually have it laid out. Like, I have these note cards. I know, like, a lot of big points. And then, but I don't always know how they're going to get there. And there are times that it changes, like, as you go, where I'm like, oh, I didn't see this coming. But I just kind of go with it. It'll be more, like, all of his internal coming out was, you know, I didn't know all the details of the letters that were going to kind of unfold. I knew that he had struggled, but so sometimes when you're writing it, all these little side things start happening. But I know the big points, like I know the, you know, the conflict and like the meet cute, like how they're going to first see each other.
Yeah.
And like the tropes, things like that.
Yeah. I love how he just like strolled into the bar when he found out that she was going to be there and was like, right. Hey, yep. Sav.
Right. I'm here. Right. Let's do this.
Right. And they, right. Cause he heard she was there. And I think, yeah, like she was the one person I think that he just really missed. Like that was someone in his life that he really loved.
His best friend. It's like, yeah, sometimes, yeah, you can't walk away from that.
He says it like so, like, that's the thing I really liked about him too. He really is, I think, very like open and honest with her about everything that he's feeling. I thought that they were gonna like kind of beat around the bush a little bit, but he was just like, we're together now, I love you. But he's like, yeah, like you, yeah, he's so direct and I loved it. But he like at one point he literally is like, I love you, you're my favorite person in the world.
Yeah,
like when I look at you, he's like, you're perfect, like there's nothing. And it's just, how do you say, I mean, how do you not love that?
Right. And I think she would have given up things she wanted because that's how much she loved him.
I agree.
Yeah.
And that part of the conflict, like, I think I did love that part about them, that they were very, you know, in the beginning, she's very guarded with him until it all kind of comes out. But I think he knows that, like this is the one person that he can be himself with. And but then I think there was that guilt, like if we want different things and
yeah.
So
I mean, it's very mature of them to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. That I liked the maturity vibe of this book. Like it was real adult, like things that like you and I can all relate to.
Right.
And I think it's also setting a nice stage for like a younger crowd too, if they read a book. Like communicate, like talk about things, be vocal. Like
right. I do love that with these characters, with a lot of them in this series, is like just, and they have each other to talk things through.
Mm-hmm.
And like they have their stubborn moments, but I did love that with these two. And I have to tell you guys, because release day's in tomorrow at midnight. So this is helping me so much because like all those nerves kick in. So hearing you talk, like, because I'm writing a different book now, but hearing like you talk about them, I'm like, oh gosh, I love them. And it helps so much to hear that you enjoyed it. And because, you know, all those nerves, tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and be like, oh boy, it's tonight. So yeah, this is, I'm so glad we met because I never usually do these before release. So this is really nice. Thank you.
Well, we're happy to be able to help with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say, I know that we are coming up on time a little bit, but what, I mean, you keep saying that you're working on something. I don't want to jump to what's next when this one's just releasing, but everybody is going to want to know what is next, especially now that we're kind of closing the chapter on these boys.
Yeah. So at the end of Finding Haze, you get the first two chapters of Steal My Heart. Mm-hmm. So book one in Rosewood River, which is Emerson's brother, Easton, is book one. And then her four brothers and two cousins will have a book.
Okay.
So I am writing right now book two in Rosewood River.
That's got to be so crazy. Because, like, you're like, what, two books ahead already? So,
well,
like you're saying,
I have to write Montlake book one in between Rosewood River book one and two. So I did. It's like I was in Magnolia Falls, then I went to Rosewood River, then I went to Blushing, Alaska. So if that part is hard, like I had to go back and read book one because I'm like, wait, I remember it, but I want to be. So fresh. I've never done that. And then I'll write book two of this one and then book two, Montlake. And then I'll be just in Rosewood River for the rest of the year. So because that is right, because you're promoting a book and but Rosewood River and Magnolia Falls are very interconnected. Like I just started seeing with Beefcake today. So because he comes because these are now his uncles, you know, so they were there visiting for the holidays. So. Like you still get to keep up with them a little bit, which is fun. So I feel like I just moved neighborhoods, you know.
I love
that. Awesome. I'm so excited.
And that must be exciting then too now, because like you said, with the release coming up basically in 24 hours almost, you kind of are getting to like relive these characters that you kind of have moved on from, but you're getting, that is like, that must be really nice. It's like going home to visit family.
Totally. And just the series has been just such a fun series to write. It was like book one, Romeo's book was a book I had wanted to write for a long time, but Boxers, you know, I didn't know how that would be received. And so I love these characters in this series. And it is, it's bittersweet because you get sad to say goodbye, you know, like it's good to leave. And you're so comfortable by the time you get to like the last book in the series. So that's why the next one is six books, because I'm like, I think I'll stay a little longer. Like it's hard to leave.
I need more.
Right.
Well, we're super excited for you. I don't know why anyone wouldn't love this. So
thank you guys.
Very excited for you.
Yeah. Yep. Very excited for you. And so appreciative of you taking the time to talk to us.
So oh my gosh. Always, always. And I would love to send you guys a paperback. So when we get off, I'll message you. And if you want
to my God, thank you so much.
Send you a
That's so kind. Thank surprise. You, Laura.
Of course. Yep. Thank you for making time for me and for reading. And
oh my gosh. Yeah, of course.
Of it course. And obviously, if you next release, if you ever want to come back on, we're always here. So we can definitely stay in touch.
Same. I would love it. And I just am so grateful for the support and just for the love for the series. So thank you.
You're welcome. And just good luck. I don't think you have anything to worry about. Lovers of your previous works and lovers of this series. It is.
They will love this one too.
I'll say it's a great like culmination. I know a lot of people were waiting for Haze, and you did not disappoint.
Thank you. I hope so. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a great evening.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.